All right, everyone, buckle up because round five in the new Agam Blood Bowl League. Let's just say it delivered some serious shakeups.
Yeah, it was a wild one.
It really was. I mean, if you thought you had a handle on the standings, forget about it. This round threw some major curveballs our way.
You said it. Some incredible matchups, some truly unexpected results, and some real shifts in those standings that no one saw coming. We are diving deep into all of that today.
Absolutely. And to help us break it all down, we've got all the juicy stats from the round five matches and, of course, the always entertaining predictions from our Goblin staff.
Yeah, you gotta love those goblins. Always a source of amusement and occasional insight, though they're definitely not always right.
Definitely not. But that's part of the fun, right? It just goes to show how unpredictable this game can be. You think you know what's gonna happen, and Blood Bowl just laughs in your face and does something completely different.
It's a chaotic masterpiece, and that's why we love it. So for everyone listening today, we're gonna dissect this round piece by piece. We'll look at the standout players, the big surprises, the moments that made us jump out of our seats. And hopefully by the end of this, you'll have a crystal clear picture of what went down in round five and what it all means for the rest of the season.
All right, so let's jump right in, shall we? First up, we've got the clash between No Brutos, those orcs dedicated to Gork and Mork going head to head with the compulsive drinkers. And let me tell you, the goblins were very vocal about their predictions for this one.
Oh yeah, they were.
Yeah.
They were practically ready to crown the drinkers champions before the match even started.
Right. It was like they were already writing the victory speech. They were convinced the drinkers were going to sweep both games, no problem. They were banking on the drinkers for that top spot in the league. And they basically dismissed any chance of the orcs pulling off any tactical surprises. It was almost like they thought the orcs would just show up and get trampled.
And to be fair, the compulsive drinkers didn't disappoint, at least in terms of the final result. They took the match with a clean 3-0 victory.
Yeah, a shutout on the scoreboard. No arguments there. And when you dig into the drinker stats, it's easy to see why. They scored 3 touchdowns, inflicted 3 injuries, and with a team value of 1325, they're clearly a well-oiled machine.
Seems like a pretty straightforward win on the surface, right?
That's so fast. Take a closer look at the numbers for No Brutos. Their team value is actually higher at 1380. And even though they didn't manage to score any touchdowns, they still caused 2 casualties and 3 KOs. That paints a slightly different picture, wouldn't you say? It suggests they weren't just rolling over for the drinkers.
You're absolutely right. They were hitting hard and making their presence felt, even without putting points on the board. But as you can imagine, that kind of aggressive play comes at a price. They also sustained a heavy beating, 5 casualties, 1 KO, and a whopping 10 injuries.
Ouch. Yeah, that's rough. It is. And to make matters worse, one of those injuries was a death. So while the drinkers were all about precision and scoring, the orcs were more about brute force. They were throwing haymakers, but in the end, they paid a heavy price for it. It makes you wonder if the drinkers' win was purely down to skill, or if the orcs' aggressive style left them a little too exposed.
So probably a bit of both, wouldn't you say? Blood Bowl is rarely that simple. It's often a delicate balance between calculated risks and a bit of luck. Now let's dive into some of the individual performances that really stood out. For the compulsive drinkers, Tequila Sunrise, that Dark Elf lineman earned the MVP award and a cool 4 SPP.
Nice.
Gintonic Tuas, the Dark Elf blitzer, also had a good game, racking up 3 SPP. And White Lady the Third, the Witch Elf, had a touchdown to the scoreboard and earned 3 SPP of her own. So yeah, their key players really stepped up and delivered.
Absolutely. Those SPP gains can make a huge difference as the season progresses. And speaking of individual performances on the No Brutos side, Chantelot Noir, one of their orc biduns, managed to inflict 2 injuries. But unfortunately, Yikker Boom Boom, another bigun on their team, took a casualty and an injury himself. But the real standout for the orcs, even in defeat, has got to be Ursag Dernier Danse, their orc blitzer.
He had a monster game.
Yeah, he did. He earned a remarkable 5. SPP scored their only touchdown, and get this, he inflicted 5 injuries and 2 KOs. That's the kind of performance that can turn a player into a legend.
Yeah, even in a loss, that's the kind of stat line that gets you noticed.
Yeah.
And let's not forget Gork Lesanglon, who added 2 KOs and 2 injuries of his own. So it seems like individual talent wasn't the issue for the orcs. Maybe just a bit of bad luck or a tactical misstep here and there. And then there was Lesir, like Haidas Lotlon, another big gun, who was an absolute workhorse. He had 7 successful blocks, but also absorbed 7 blocks himself. That's a busy day in the trenches for sure.
No kidding. So what's really fascinating here is that despite the goblins' prediction of a pretty straightforward drinker's win, the reality was much different. The sheer number of casualties and KOs inflicted by the orcs tells a story of a much more physical and fiercely contested match than that 3-0 scoreline might suggest. The Dark Elves might have won the day with their scoring efficiency, but it definitely wasn't a walk in the park.
Right. It was a hard-fought victory, for sure. All right, moving on to our next matchup. We had the Downtown Disco Boys facing off against Wraith's Boys. And for this one, the Goblin staff, well, they weren't exactly brimming with enthusiasm.
Oh, no, they were practically yawning at the thought of this one. They wrote it off as just another boring elvish game, predicting a lot of running a lot of fancy footwork, and ultimately a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, they basically predicted a highlight reel of wood elf agility leading to a predictable outcome. It's like they were already bored before the match even started.
Pretty much. And while they did correctly predict the Downtown Disco Boys taking the win with a final score of 3-0, it wasn't quite the snooze fest they were anticipating.
Yeah. The Disco Boys definitely delivered on the scoreboard 3 touchdowns and a team value of 1240. They also managed to complete a few passes and catches. So in that respect, they did kind of fit the stereotypical elvish play style. But when you look at Wraith's Boys, their team value is actually a bit higher at 1275. And while they inflicted 3 injuries, they also sustained 4.
So not exactly the graceful dance the goblins were expecting.
Not at all. Those injuries suggest a much more physical and hard-hitting game than anyone predicted. It makes you wonder if Wraith's Boys tried to disrupt the Disco Boys' finesse with a more aggressive approach. Maybe they thought they could throw the Disco Boys off their rhythm and force them into a brawl.
That's an interesting thought, and it might explain why the match was a bit more rough and tumble than the Goblins predicted. Now let's talk about some of the standout players in this matchup. For the Disco Boys, Furiel Larabajur, their Wood Elf catcher, had a great game, earning 4 SPP and scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, he was a key contributor for sure.
He was. And Heithli Legzile de Nagaroth, another Wood Elf, this time a lineman, earned the MVP award and also gained 4 SPP. And we can't forget Kilian La Douceur de Cathay, their thrower, who added 2 SPP to his tally. So yeah, a solid team effort from the Disco Boys, all contributing to that decisive victory.
And for Wraith's Boys, Zathos Angel Face, their catcher managed to earn 3 SPP, but he also suffered 2 injuries and a casualty. That's a tough day on the pitch, even with the SPP game. It just goes to show that even the most skilled players can be targeted and taken out of the game if the opposing team is determined enough.
Absolutely. So while the Goblins might have been picturing a graceful display of elvish athleticism, the reality was a bit more down and dirty. It just goes to show you can't always judge a Blood Bowl match by the racial makeup of the teams. Sometimes those elves can get down in the mud and brawl with the best of them.
No doubt. And it's a reminder that even within similar racial matchups, the tactical approaches and the resulting outcomes can vary wildly.
All right, let's move on to match 3, where we saw the Wilderness Rangers facing off against the Darkness. And for this one, the Goblin staff actually put a bit more thought into their prediction.
Yeah, they did. They predicted that each team would win their home game, which on paper seemed like a reasonable assessment. They acknowledged that the Rangers might be a bit weakened after a tough previous match. And they also noted that the Darkness had recently suffered their first defeat in the league. So a prediction of 2 home victories seemed logical enough.
It did. But as we all know, logic doesn't always apply in Blood Bowl. And in this case, the dice had other plans. The match ended in a 2-2 draw. So much for those home wins.
Right. The Wilderness Rangers, playing on their home turf, managed to score 2 touchdowns. And the Darkness playing away matched them point for point. The team values were also very close, with the Rangers at 1310. And the Darkness just slightly lower at 1300. So a very even contest on the scoreboard, reflecting a tight and hard-fought battle on the pitch.
Absolutely. Now let's take a look at the individual performances that shaped this draw. For the Rangers, Cynador Born Killer, their Dark Elf Blitzer, was the MVP and earned a solid 4 SPP. But Gontrance LaFury, another Blitzer on their team, had a surprisingly quiet game with 0 SPP. And then there's Eleniel, the doctor, a lineman who unfortunately picked up 2 injuries. So a bit of a mixed bag for the Rangers in terms of individual contributions.
And for the Darkness, we saw a rather surprising MVP in Malagor Le Grand Saboteur, their goblin bruiser. He also gained 4 SPP and inflicted an injury. Now that's something you don't see every day, a goblin bruiser being the most valuable player against an elf team.
It's definitely not common. It suggests that Malagor was an absolute menace on the pitch, disrupting the Rangers' typically smooth plays and causing all sorts of chaos in their backfield. For a goblin to outshine the Dark Elves in terms of impact is a pretty significant detail, and it really goes against the grain of what you'd normally expect in a matchup like this.
Yeah, it definitely makes you wonder how he managed to pull that off. It speaks to the unpredictable nature of Blood Bowl and the fact that any player can have a breakout game when the dice are in their favor.
So the Goblins were half right, with the home advantage playing a role. But the draw, and especially that Goblin MVP, were definitely not on their prediction bingo card.
Nope, they didn't see that one coming. It highlights how individual player performances and a bit of unexpected tactical genius can completely overturn even the most sensible predictions.
And finally, we come to the main event, at least in terms of anticipated carnage. Black is the color going up against Nurgle's bards. Now, the Goblin staff were practically drooling at the thought of this one.
Oh, yeah, they were. They were predicting a bloodbath filled with screams injuries and maybe even a few touchdowns thrown in for good measure. They were also banking on those black orc inducements to level the playing field enough. For black as the color to maybe snag a draw in both games against the Nurgle team, it was like they were picturing a clash of the Titans, a real slugfest, with no shortage of broken bones and spilled blood.
And it sounds like they weren't too far off the mark, at least in terms of the brutality of the match. Nurgle's bards ultimately won with a 2-0 victory, but it definitely wasn't a clean sweep. Black is the color with a team value of 1430, suffered a tragic loss, with Nick Mason receiving a permanent injury, a death on the pitch. A sobering reminder of the risks these players take every time they step onto the field.
Absolutely. And Nurgle's bards, who boasts a slightly higher team value of 1455, did manage to score their 2 touchdowns and inflicted a significant 4 casualties. Mm. But mirroring their opponent's misfortune, they also sustained 5 injuries and had a death of their own. So yeah, it was a brutal encounter, just as the Goblins had predicted. It really underscores the punishing nature of Nurgle teams and their matchups.
It was a real war of attrition. Now let's highlight some of the players who stood out in this chaotic match. For black is the color, John Karaman, their Goblin Bruiser, earned a hard-fought MVP award with 4 SBP. He also managed to inflict an injury and a KO, so he was right in the thick of it trying to disrupt that Nurgle advance. Unfortunately, Anthony Moore, another Goblin Bruiser on their team, sustained an injury and a casualty. Those Goblin Bruisers were really putting in the work trying to hold back the tide, but it was a tough battle for sure.
And for Nurgle's Bards Vanir, their Pestigore had a fantastic game, racking up an impressive 7 SAMPP. Abith, their bloater, didn't gain any SPP. But Dying Fetus, their rotter, earned the MVP award with 4 SPP and inflicted 2 injuries. And even Ultra Vomit, their rot spawn, wasn't immune to the carnage, sustaining an injury. It seemed like Nurgle's relentless offensive pressure eventually paid off, but not without a significant physical toll on both sides of the ball.
It was a real slugfest. So while the Goblins were hoping for a draw, it seems like Nurgle's bards were just too strong. Even with those black orc inducements, they managed to pull off a decisive win. It really speaks to their overall team strength, their ability to create scoring opportunities, even in the most brutal of matches, and maybe a little help from their patron deity.
You never know with Nurgle. But what's particularly interesting here is the resilience shown by Nurgle's bards. Despite facing a team bolstered by inducements and suffering a death of their own, they still managed to dominate. That says a lot about their mental fortitude, their ability to stay focused under pressure, and their overall commitment to winning, no matter the cost.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up our deep dive into the madness that was round 5, what are the big takeaways for you, the listener?
Well, we saw some decisive victories from the Compulsive Drinkers and the Downtown Disco Boys, solidifying their positions in the league and showing everyone that they're serious contenders. The Wilderness Rangers and the Darkness played out a surprising draw, defying expectations and leaving us all wondering what might have been. In a truly brutal and casualty-filled match, Nurgle's Bards emerged victorious against Black, is the color proving their dominance and leaving a trail of destruction in their wake. And let's not forget about those Goblin staff predictions. They were a mixed bag, as always, with some correct calls on the winning teams. But the finer details and the inherent unpredictability of Blood Bowl proved once again that trying to predict this game with any real certainty is impossible. It's a fool's errand, but a highly entertaining one.
Exactly. It's that unpredictability that keeps us all coming back for more. It's the chaos, the unexpected turns, the moments of brilliance, and the crushing defeats. It's a game that constantly keeps you guessing, and that's why we love it. Absolutely. So now you have a complete picture of all the action from round 5 in the new Ogome League. You've got the key details, the shocking twists, and the standout performances, and hopefully this gives you a solid understanding of where things stand and what we might expect as the season progresses. But before we sign off, here's a final thought to ponder. With all these upsets and the ever-growing list of injuries, even deaths, how will the results of round 5 truly impact the league in the weeks to come? Will we see unexpected alliances emerge, or will new rivalries ignite from the ashes of these battles? Only time and the next round of bone-crunching action will tell.
It's going to be a wild ride, that's for sure.
It always is.
See you next time.
Until then, keep your dice rolling and your heads on a swivel.